Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America. Welcome back to another hour of The Flip Side. I'm Jeffrey Bennett. I'll be sitting in here for the next tonight and for all next week. And tomorrow night, as my good friend Robbie Noel hits the big lemonade stand at the ocean, heading out here for a few days for a much and well-deserved break. We all need it once in a while. A couple of comments to open the program tonight. Many of you heard this before, as so have I. I've shared it on the air many times, but sometimes we have to go back and kind of review old bits of commentary just for the sake of thinking about it. Do you know that the average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years? And all of these nations have progressed through this very sequence. They've gone from bondage to spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to selfishness, selfishness to complacency, complacency to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back again into bondage. Those words stated by Sir Alex Fraser Tyler, a Scottish jurist and historian. Have to do that once in a while. My good friend, Father O'Leary, who continues to send me news from Scotland. Well, now they get a basis now, don't you know? The markets today, interesting. The Wall Street markets were down across the board. Nothing major, but the point is they were all down. The Dow Jones Industrial were down nearly 2 points. NASDAQ was down a couple of points. The S&P and the Russell 2000 were both down about a half a point. Transportations were up a little bit. Utilities were up. Kind of reminds me of what took place back in 1929. Very much the same kind of reports were being given on a daily basis. You knew how many, what the volume of shares were that were being traded, and then came October. How interesting. Now, I had another piece of news. Where did it go to? Oh, yeah. Ford Motor Company's in big trouble. Big trouble. Big American automobile manufacturer. Back in... I think you got an open mic, Manny. I can hear you breathing, buddy. Back in 2001, one of the biggest things going on in the market were the big Ford expeditions, big V8 engines, could tow boats, seat 8 or 9 people, 15 miles a gallon. That was city and highway combined, and that, of course, is based on government numbers, and we all know how they lie. You know, it wasn't a big deal. Gas in 2001, ladies and gentlemen, 5 years ago, was selling for $1.50 a gallon. It is twice that amount today. Why? Because the dollar has lost 50% of its buying power. But the fact of the matter is, Ford Motor Company is in big trouble. For the first time in history, Toyota has taken over as a bigger seller of trucks and SUVs than Ford Motor Company. Quick final comments on that issue when we get back from this flip side of this commercial moment right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come?
I'm afraid for most of big business in America, chiefly the big three automakers, there's more dollars going out than there are coming in today. Commenting just before the break on what's taking place at Ford Motor Company, Ford is cutting factory output by 21% in the fourth quarter. Biggest production cutback in a quarter of a century. Wall Street now expects Ford to lose $1 billion this year. Its stock is down nearly 20% since the same time a year ago. But here's what's so absolutely amazing. It's so bad over at Ford that its troubles actually make General Motors look good by comparison. Now CEO Bill Ford Jr. is trying to engineer a reversal of fortune by reinventing the wheel, as it were, at the automaker founded by his great-great-grandfather 103 years ago, a man who was, shall we say, no big fan of the Oy Vey crowd. Bill Ford is putting for sale signs out on the family firm. He's trying to get rid of Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin, maybe even Volvo. Gives you a very distinct idea what is going on in the American market. 21% cutback. How much more revenue or income is the American automobile manufacturer, I'm talking about the men and women who work on the lines, about to lose? How many of those 73,000 jobs a month next year are going to be affected strictly because of Ford Motor Company and its various suppliers? Gold end of the day, or currently in the aftermarket, is sitting at $627.70, up $21 from where it was 2 days ago. Silver at $12.93, up nearly a dollar from where it was 2 days ago. Some things to think about, ladies and gentlemen. I had gone to the Federal Observer earlier today, made some notices on the air section. And part of this, what's coming up next week, as some of you may be aware of, I will be sitting in this chair tonight through next Friday, although Monday will be reruns across the board of the network, being Labor Day. And as I mentioned earlier, what laborers are we celebrating today? It must be the ones from 100 years ago or so, because we just don't have enough of them in this country to celebrate today. We should call it Thanksgiving for those laborers that still are lucky enough to have a job. I guess maybe we're celebrating Labor Day for all the foreigners that are manufacturing the goods that get exported into this country or to this country that we are now out there buying. Two things I talked about on the Federal Observer. One is next Wednesday's upcoming program. You do not want to miss it. It will be entitled, Who Do You Trust? I have a very special guest who will be joining us for the hour. We'll be discussing trust. We're going to be putting to bed the myths that are being dispensed by many of the alleged patriot-type radio broadcasts. I hope you'll join us. I think you better be prepared to take some notes, make some notes. I think you'll find it a very interesting hour's worth of programming. And so do join us next Wednesday, September the 6th, right here on the Flip Side. Our special guest, Lance Hurley, will be joining us. Who do you trust? The other thing I talked about on The Observer and mentioned when Robbie and I were filling in for John Statmiller here a little over an hour ago. Tonight I'm going to go back into my own archives and share with you a little bit of discussion about barnyard politics. It's something that's been around for many years. It's been shared in one form or another in written. Not too many broadcasters basically will ever take the time to share this commentary, but it is, as was our opening commentary about the world's greatest civilizations and how they progress or regress throughout their history. Some years ago, about 1900 to be exact, an old trapper from North Dakota hitched up some horses to his Studebaker wagon. That's right. He packed a few possessions, especially his traps, and he drove south. Several weeks later, he stopped in a small town just north of the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia. It was a Saturday morning, a lazy day, when he walked into the general store. And sitting around the potbelly stove were seven or eight of the town's local citizens. The traveler spoke, "Gentlemen, could you direct me to the Okefenokee Swamp?" Well, some of the old-timers looked at him like he was crazy. "You must be a stranger in these parts," they said. "Well, I'm from North Dakota," said the stranger. "Well, in the Okefenokee Swamp are thousands of wild hogs," one man explained. "A man who goes into the swamp by himself has to die." He lifted up his leg. He says, "I lost half my leg here to the pigs of the swamp." Another old fellow said, "Look at the cuts on me. Look at my arm bit off. Those pigs have been free since the Revolution, eating snakes and rooting out roots and fending for themselves for over 100 years. They're wild and they're dangerous. You can't trap them. No man dare go into the swamp by himself." Every man nodded his head in agreement. The old trapper said, "Well, thank you so much for the warning. Now, could you direct me to the swamp?" Well, they said, "Well, yeah, it's due south, straight on down the road." But they begged the stranger not to go because they knew he would meet a terrible fate. And he said, "Sell me 10 sacks of corn and help me load them into the wagon." And so they did. And then the old trapper bid them farewell and drove on down the road. The townsfolk thought they'd never see him again. 2 weeks later, the man returned. He pulled up to the general store, got down off the wagon, walked in and bought 10 more sacks of corn. And after loading it up, he went back on down the road toward the swamp. And 2 weeks later, he returned again. Bought 10 more sacks of corn. And this went on for a month. And then 2 months and three. Every week or two, the old trapper would come into town on a Saturday morning, load up 10 sacks of corn, and drive off south into the swamp. Well, the stranger soon became a legend in the little village and the subject of much speculation. People wondered what kind of devil had possessed this man that he could go into the Okefenokee by himself and not be consumed by the wild and free hogs. Well, one morning, the man came into town as usual. Everyone thought he wanted more corn. He got off the wagon, went to the store where the usual group of men were gathered around the stove, and he took off his gloves. "Gentlemen," he said, "I need to hire about 10 to 15 wagons. I need 20 or 30 men. I have 6,000 hogs out in the swamp, penned up, and they're all hungry, and I got to get them to market right away." "Y'all what in the swamp?" asked the storekeeper incredulously. I have 6,000 hogs penned up. They have not eaten for 2 or 3 days, and they'll starve if I don't get them back, if I don't get back there to feed and care for them. One of the old-timers said, "You mean y'all captured them wild hogs at Okefenokee?" "That's right."
"Well, how'd you do that? What'd you do, boy?"
One of them explained, "But I lost my arm." "I lost my brother," cried another. "I lost my leg to them wild boars," claimed a third. The trapper said, "Well, the first week I went in there, they were wild all right. They hid in the undergrowth and they wouldn't come out. Well, I dared not get off the wagon, so I spread some corn along behind the wagon. And every day I'd spread a sack of corn. The old pigs would have nothing to do with it, but the younger pigs decided it was easier to eat free corn than it was to root out the roots and catch snakes. So the very young began to eat the corn first. Well, I did this every day, and pretty soon, even the old pigs decided, you know, it's easier to eat free corn. After all, they were all free. They were not penned up. They could run off in any direction they wanted at any time. Well, the next thing was to get them used to eating in the same place all the time. So I selected a clearing, and I started putting the corn in the clearing. At first, they wouldn't come to the clearing. It was too far. It was too open. It was a nuisance to them. The very young decided it was easier to take the corn in the clearing than it was to root out the roots and catch their own snakes. And not long thereafter, the older pigs also decided it was easier to come to the clearing every day. And so the pigs learned to come to the clearing every day to get their free corn. They could still subsidize their diet with roots and snakes and whatever else they wanted. After all, they were all free. They could run in any direction at any time. There were no bounds upon them. Well, the next step was to get them used to fence posts. So I put fence posts all the way around the clearing. I put them in the underbrush so they wouldn't get suspicious or upset. After all, they were just sticks sticking up out of the ground, like the trees and the brush. And the corn was still there every day. It was easy to walk in between the posts and get the corn and walk back out. Well, this went on for a week or two, and shortly they became very used to walking into the clearing, getting the free corn, and walking back out through the fence posts. So the next step was to put one rail down at the bottom. I also left a few openings so that the older, fatter pigs could walk through the openings and the younger pigs could easily jump over just one rail. After all, it was no real threat to their freedom or their jump time. Now I decided I wouldn't feed them every day. I began to feed them every other day. And on the days I didn't feed them, the pigs still gathered in the clearing. They squealed and they grunted and they begged and pleaded with me to feed them, but I only fed them every other day. And then I put a second rail around the posts. And now the pigs became more and more desperate for food, because now they were no longer used to going out and digging their own roots and finding their own food. They now needed me. They needed my corn every other day. And so I trained them that I would feed them every day if they came in through a gate. And I put up a third rail around the fence. But it was still no great threat to their freedom, because there were several gates and they could still run out, in and out at will. And then finally I put up the fourth rail. And then I closed all the gates but one, and I fed them very, very well. And yesterday I closed the last gate, and today I need your help to help me take these pigs to market. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the parable of the pigs, I hope you've begun to figure out, has a serious moral lesson. The story is about federal money being used to bait, and trap, and enslave a once free and independent people. Federal welfare in its myriad forms has reduced not only individuals to a state of subverted by the command and control structures of federal revenue sharing programs. You might find this of interest. There was a time I had this loaded in this particular computer, and something I can no longer do. You know, when they come to me and ask if I want some of the free handouts and some of that revenue sharing, And I just tell them, no, I have no interest in federal corn because, frankly, the bacon I save may be my own. You think about that one. And isn't that what's wrong? We have, as a society, become so used to the easy way that something's always going to be there for us, something we don't have to pay for, something that we don't have to work for. But now we have a system in this country that takes our jobs, gives big corporate America huge tax incentives to move these manufacturing plants offshore or service centers offshore. I mean, when's the last time you called AT&T or your relatively obscure Bell telephone company to get questions answered about your bill or to add a line or to drop a line? And who do you wind up talking with? Ahmed Packrat over in New Delhi somewhere. Anywhere but in this country. Try to get somebody who resides in this country who will give you the service that you've been paying for so many years. It'll answer your questions. Oh, no, I cannot do this. But if you check back in a couple of days on our website, I think you will find that everything has been cleared up. It is all okay. Thank you so much for using AT&T. Please to call us again if you have telephone troubles or questions. I don't want the handout. I don't want Medicare. I don't want Medicaid.
But you paid into it.
No, paying is something you do willingly. They have stolen from our paychecks in America to make sure that Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security are funded so that they, the elected officials of who sit there on high on their thrones in Washington, D.C., can continue to spend what they've stolen from us. And when they run out, they just find a way to steal more from us. I had an email from Jackie Junty today. Jackie is known around the internet as Grassroots Granny. Has a website, grassrootsgranny.com, all one word. She sent me an interesting column late this afternoon, which I chose to post, and I sent her a note and let her know that I'd posted it. She came back ecstatic because of what I'd use for a front page blurb, and she's going to now modify her column to add this blurb, which I will share with you once I've shared with you Jackie's column. Now, keep something in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Jackie says that this past week she's noticed all the hoopla in the media, television, radio, print, making sure that everyone knows that this Friday, tomorrow night, is the beginning of football season. Take a look at any web page or newspaper, and most of them are all filled with football hype. High school, college, NFL, doesn't make any difference. I have no doubt whatsoever, Jackie says, that this Friday night, every football field will be filled with people from middle school to the pro leagues, all paying a ticket price to attend and then buying refreshments, all to root for their team. And yet, while America is busy being entertained at their beloved football games, the illegals are busy, very busy with their goals, pun intended, that of conquering America. Can you imagine how different this all would be if all those folks who are willing to spend their money, their time and energy at the football games were to redirect all of those resources to protecting and defending America from the illegal invaders? Imagine the difference, she says, that would take place if these football fans were to direct some of that energy into confronting the politicians for their failure to enforce immigration law. How about if these same people were to stand on street corners or in front of businesses that employ illegals or do business with illegals? How about if they went to the southern border and stood watch with those of us who are doing all we can to protect this nation from the invaders? How about if they were to give some of that admission price to the local groups who are spending all of their own funds to do the job that Bush and company refused to do, even though they swore an oath to do so? The badging of these football fans, you, if it applies, went to the ballot box and voted against every incumbent who has not been in the front of the line to protect America from illegals. Imagine, if you will, an America filled with folks as enthusiastic and devoted to national sovereignty, devoted to all of their constitutional rights, and demand that all elected servants uphold the Constitution as written, not as it has been twisted. Imagine an America filled with legal Americans who honor and respect American law according to the Constitution. Imagine all of that. I say, imagine. As we all know that most of those football fans are more than willing to exchange their freedom and country to the illegals in exchange for that entertainment they call football. Reminds me of an old recording by Andy Griffith entitled, What It Was Football. Young country boy watching this game and trying to figure it out. Well, these same football fans also sit and watch the borders of America move back and forth from goalpost to goalpost. What is in that pigskin that makes those players throw it and kick it and run with it? Maybe it came from one of those wild pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp. Why can't that same fervor be transferred to this land we live in, and that mental attitude of winning be transferred to winning this nation for Americans instead of handing it over to illegals? What is the disconnect between how these football fans think about this game? Oh, yes, my friends, it is a game. And how they fail to understand that we are losing the war for America. If we could figure that out and tap into that mentality to win in football, to winning the war of the invasion of America, we could turn this mess around and do it probably in just one single Friday night. As we conclude this segment of the program, I want you to consider these words that I've shared with Jackie Junty. And as I share it with you, this is the 50-yard line. And ladies and gentlemen, why each and every one of you may have great seats, your team is losing. This is the 50-yard line. And why you may have great seats, your team is losing. Think about that. I'll be back with you on the flip side of this bottom of the hour break right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess. So you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole, or C, the floral and fruit basket for the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, you know the bottom's falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks. Well, you know the bottom's falling out. People slipping through the cracks.
Welcome back to the second half hour. The flip side, Jeffrey Bennett in tonight. Right here on Republic Broadcasting Network, also simulcast over on World Harvest Radio, for those of you who are listening over there. John Maynard Keynes once said, there is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one man in a million could diagnose. Well, obviously, Ben Bernanke is not that one man in a million. During the final two decades of the 20th century, you know, that's the one that ended about 6.5 years ago, the U.S. economy was the envy of the world. It created 30 million new jobs while Europe and Japan were creating virtually none. We imposed our technological and ideological will on huge sections of the global marketplace and produced new millionaires the way that a Ford plant once turned out pickup trucks. U.S. stock prices rose 20-fold during that time period, in the process convincing most investors that it would always be so. But toward the end, even the federal government seemed well-run, accumulating surpluses big enough to shift the debate from how to allocate scarce resources to how long it would take to eliminate the federal debt. And as the coin of this brave new realm, the dollar became the world's dominant currency. Albeit gold is still pegged to the dollar today. Foreign central banks accumulated dollars as their main reserve asset. Commodities such as oil were denominated in dollars, and emerging countries like Argentina and China linked their currencies to the dollar in the hope of achieving U.S.-like stability. by 2000, the year 2000, there were said to be more $100 bills circulating in Russia than even here in the United States of America. But as the century ended, my friends, so did this extraordinary run. Tech stocks crashed, the Twin Towers fell, American sense of omnipotence went the way of their nest eggs. The federal government is now borrowing $450 billion each year to finance a war on terror, as well as an array of new or expanded social programs. The dollar, meanwhile, has become the world's problem currency, falling in value versus other major currencies and plunging versus gold. The whole world is watching, scratching its collective head and wondering what in the heck has changed. Well, you see, the answer, my friends, is that everything has changed. And nothing has changed. The spectacular growth of the past two decades, it now turns out, was a mirage generated by the smoke and mirrors of rising debt and the willingness of the rest of the world to accept a flood of new dollars. Just how much the U.S. owes will shock each and every one of you. But even more shocking is the fact that we're still at it. We're still spending. We're still going deeper and deeper into debt each and every second of each and every minute of each and every hour of the day, of the year, etc. Like a family that has maintained its lifestyle by maxing out a series of credit cards, America is at the point where new debt goes to pay off the old rather than to create new wealth. And hence, the past few years' slow growth and steady loss of jobs. So why do you say that nothing has changed? Because today's problems are new only in terms of recent U.S. history. The quick scan of world history reveals them to be depressingly familiar, as we discussed at the very opening of this program today. All great societies pass this way eventually, running up unsustainable debts and printing or minting currency in an increasingly desperate attempt to maintain the illusion of prosperity. And all eventually find themselves between the proverbial devil and the deep blue sea. Anyone want a ticket for a ride on the Titanic? Either they simply collapse under the weight of their accumulated debt, as did the U.S. and Europe in the 1930s, or they keep running the printing presses until their currencies become worthless and their economies fall into chaos. This time, the world round, governments have clearly chosen the second option. They're cutting interest rates, boosting spending, or encouraging the use of modern financial engineering techniques to create a tidal wave of credit. And history teaches that once in motion, this process leads to an inevitable result. Fiat, in other words, governmentally controlled currencies, will become ever less valuable until most of us just give up on them altogether. Now, what does a collapse in the value of the dollar mean for your finances, for you, for I? It means many things, mostly bad, but some potentially good. First, it hurts people on a fixed income, because the value of each dollar they receive plunges. If you are fortunate enough to be receiving $1,000 every month in Social Security, and if there's another 10% decline in the purchasing power of the dollar within 30 days, that means it now takes $1,000 to buy what only took $900 to buy the month before. Now, those numbers may not be exactly right, but it's fairly simple and fairly close. Ditto for those who are owed money, by the way, because you're going to be paid back in less valuable dollars. Hence the disaster about to hit many banks in this country. Bonds, which are basically loans to businesses or governments that promise to make fixed monthly payments and then return the principal, those are going to be terrible investments. Do you understand? Bonds are going to be terrible investments because they're going to repay you in constant depreciating dollars. For stocks and real estate, the picture is probably mixed. A weak dollar may help in some ways, and it's going to hurt in others. The only unambiguous winner is gold, my friends. And for the first 3,000 or so years of human history, gold was, for a variety of, frankly, still valid reasons, humanity's money of choice. As recently as 1970, 36 years ago, it was the anchor of the global financial system. And since the world's economies severed their links to the metal in 1971, it has acted as a kind of a shadow currency, rising when the dollar is weak, falling when the dollar is strong. Remember, much earlier in this program, we talked about what the cost of a gallon of gas was in 2001, just five and a half years ago. $1.50 a gallon, it's twice that today. Part of it's greed. It's not supply problems. Demand is no different today than it was 5.5 years ago, percentage-wise. It's called greed, and it's also called the dollar has lost 50% of its value. Now, it's not surprising to many of us. Gold languished during the 1980s and 90s, drifting lower as the dollar soared and actually became stronger. It was supplanted by the greenback as the standard against which all things financial were measured. But now those roles are about to reverse once again. In the coming decade, as the dollar suffers one of the great meltdowns in monetary history, my friends, gold will reclaim its place as the center, at the center of the global financial system, and its value relative to most of today's national currencies will soar. And the result? Gold coins, gold mining stocks to some degree, maybe even gold-based digital currencies will be vastly better ways to preserve and or grow your wealth than dollar-denominated bonds and stocks or even bank accounts. That, in a nutshell, is the story, according to James Turk, writing for today's Daily Reckoning. Now, consider this. Things in this country today do seem to be getting worse very quickly. Now, the words free fall, that's a strong word or statement, but I think it's the right one to use here. You see, most Americans look into the future. They see a weakening property market, and yet they fear nothing. They've been told that soft housing prices pose no problems for the rest of the economy. And most Americans have no reason to doubt that this is true. No reason to squint. No reason to try to look further down the road. No reason to get the binoculars or the scope out to see how far into the future they can see. You see, they don't dread a slump nor a boom. They have no fear or concerns about war or peace. They believe everything will be managed by the authorities so as to do no great damage to the homeland. Well, that's what the wild pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp thought. They were free. The authorities would take care of them. And the old North Dakota farmer was the authority. Oh, he took care of them all right. But you typically don't lose money or make it when things happen as expected, do you? No one plans on losing his life savings. It comes as a complete and total surprise, along with sudden death, financial crises, and other financial crashes and other crises. And so I pose this question to you this evening. Where will the surprise come from this time? Now, we wonder, because things that are expected present few opportunities and few catastrophes. When an old man dies, people gather at his grave almost with relief. Finally, it's over, they say. His affairs are usually sorted out long before he reaches room temperature, and so the book can be closed and put down. No more chapters or footnotes or postscripts. It's time to move on. But when a young man dies, it is as if the printer had made a mistake. The story is unfinished. We turn the page expecting to find out what happens, and it's a blank page. The young man typically dies suddenly and unexpectedly, leaving crops in the field and his widow and children in the house. And while the widow grieves, grasping neighbors move their fences, taking what was once his. and banks wonder if his mortgage will be repaid. I can't tell you how hard it was, explained a neighbor, widowed before she was 40, with five children, one of whom was severely retarded. Suddenly everything changed, she said. My husband had borrowed money to modernize the farm, but I really didn't know how to pay it back. And then farm prices were falling, and our farm hands all demanded more money, and nobody would give me any time or credit because they all thought I would fail and have to sell the place. Seemed like everyone was angling for something, and I had my children to look after. Those were the most difficult years of my life, she said. Now, there's going to be difficult years in America. Americans don't seem to be worrying. They recall the last recession in 2001 almost fondly, even before they had forgone a single Krispy Kreme donut or darned a sock. You younger folks don't know what I mean when I talk about darning a sock. Before any of these things were even thought about, the so-called recession was over. And on its heels came the biggest boom in housing prices the world had ever seen. Recession? Well, man, the last one was no trouble. Why should I worry about the next one? The expected slump poses no danger to them. But what if the slump is not what Americans expect? What if the softening of housing prices is not so benign? What if the roof really does cave in? Uh-huh. That, you see, would come as a shock. But is anyone preparing for that? Paul Ashworth, quoting in last week's Guardian, stated, house prices have been rising at unprecedented double-digit rates in recent years, giving homeowners massive windfalls and supporting a wave of investment in new construction. However, the number of unsold new homes is now at a 10-year high. Ashworth reckons that 30% of all jobs created since the end of the last recession in 2001, 1.4 million new jobs since 2001, have been in sectors related to the housing market boom, from construction to stores to real estate people, those who train the real estate people how to get a license, etc., etc. But as the boom runs out of steam, it is anticipated that 73,000 jobs per month will be lost beginning of the first of the year. Per month! Stephen Roach, also in The Guardian, says, for a wealth-dependent U.S. economy, the bursting of another major asset bubble is likely to be a very big deal. And he went on to say, with U.S. fiscal and trade imbalances now larger than 5 years ago, now larger than at any time in their history, the fallout for the rest of the world could be more devastating than the aftermath of the dot-com boom. End quote. Of course, we have no more idea than anyone else. I don't. Robbie doesn't. Those of you sitting at home, some of whom are certainly wiser than we have no more idea than anyone else when. But at least we know what to look for. The unexpected, the unanticipated. What analysts broadly anticipate is a soft landing in housing and no landing at all in stocks. What is unanticipated is a hard crash. Will it come? We don't know. But at least we have not failed to anticipate it. The housing boom, my friends, is over. And you've heard me talk a lot about this housing bubble over the last few months. It is personally affecting me. And it's certainly going to be affecting some of you. Far more of you than I would like to think. You can choose to join the ranks of those who ignore the evidence and continue on like nothing else is wrong. I'd like to rephrase that. What do you mean you can join the ranks? Most people in America are part of the rank and file. I prefer not to be part of the rank and file, as I'm sure you do. And therefore, you can prepare
for the unanticipated. If, in fact, the unanticipated is a hard crash, then you can protect yourself from the worst real estate bust in American history. I think you're going to be able to help prepare yourself and protect yourself from the worst economic bust in American history. One of the ways you do that is to make a note of this phone number. 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898. That is the toll-free number for the Republic Trading Group. Ladies and gentlemen, I put my money where my mouth is. I don't just trade in gold and silver and precious metals to hear myself talk. I don't trade in it just to make a living. I bought it and sold it and traded in it for many, many, many years before I realized I could actually make a living in this profession, that I could actually turn this into a profession. Maybe the simplicity of what I've attempted to share with you tonight will now make a little bit more common sense as to the reasons that you need to have some gold and silver in your possession. Physically in your possession. Buried out under old Bessie's stall if necessary, but get it. Put it in the coffee can. Bury it. Put it down the root cellar. Now, if you live in the city, you don't have a root cellar, and you probably don't know what I'm talking about. Robbie has offered the last couple of nights something I will extend out again through this evening. Last night at this time, we were offering British sovereigns, nearly full quarter ounce British gold sovereigns, all minted before 1933. The most singularly recognized fractional gold coin in the world. It is recognized everywhere. Everybody knows what a British sovereign is. Well, maybe not your next door neighbor, but he probably couldn't tell the difference between a 90% silver dime and this crushed beer, aluminum beer can stuff we carry around in our pockets today. But the fact of the matter, around the world, British gold sovereigns are highly recognized. 24 hours ago at this very moment, you could have picked those up for $157 a piece in the Republic Trading Group. That was less than one of our competitors had quoted yesterday morning, and even then, by last night, gold was already up $5. Gold is up again today. You should have taken advantage of it then, but you know what? $159 tonight. Call us, 1-800-691-7898. If anything I've talked about in this program tonight makes common sense to you, and I hope it does, there's been no big words here. It's all been pretty simple. Maybe the time has come to make that call. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Prepare for that which the rest of the country does not seem to be able to anticipate because they've bought into the BS. Give me a call tonight, 1-800-691-7898. $159 a coin plus shipping. Oh, by the way, if you order 100 or more coins tonight, the shipping is free. 100 or more coins, the shipping will be free. Make that call, won't you? Let's close out this segment of the program and tonight's program. Remember, I will be back with you tomorrow night. Piece of satire came my way. Believe it or not, it was published in Newsweek, called The DA's Plea. In an attempt to explain a mystery that has baffled millions of people for the last 2 weeks, Boulder County District Attorney Mary Lacey pleaded insanity today for her decision to arrest John Mark Carr for the murder of child beauty queen JonBenet Ramsey. Since Carr's arrest 2 weeks ago, many have questioned the wisdom of holding someone for the Ramsey murder with no evidence that that person had ever even set foot in Boulder, the Colorado town where the killing took place. At a press conference in Boulder today, Lacey hoped that her insanity plea would put the mystery to rest, telling reporters, "I was out of my mind when I arrested John Mark Carr." Well, the insanity plea is expected to satisfy many who were baffled by Lacey's decision to arrest him to begin with. Criminologist David Logiston of the University of Minnesota says that it only provides, quote, one piece of the puzzle. The question remains, why would someone arrest a whack job like John Mark Carr for a murder he clearly did not commit, Logsdon has said. Like many DAs, Mary Lacey may have been looking for her 15 minutes of fame. For her part, Lacey told reporters she wanted to put the Carr episode behind her and get on with her life. I've recently been presented with an exciting opportunity to purchase the Brooklyn Bridge, and I'd very much like to pursue that, she said. Oh, and elsewhere, Britney Spears' husband, Kevin Federline, will appear on CSI, hoping to add acting to the list of things he cannot do. And finally tonight, the words from Oscar Wilde. The only thing that ever consoles man for the stupid things he does is the praise he always gives himself for doing them. This has been an interesting hour. Some serious commentary, a little bit of satire, a little bit of thought-provoking commentary. Certainly, do not forget the lessons of the wild and free pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp. Far too many people in America are behind that first post and the second rail, I mean, and the third. And I'm afraid the fourth rail, ladies and gentlemen, is about to be placed. And the gate is to be closed for the last time. And that will put America 110% at the mercy of our handlers. But that's the way they want it. Maybe that's the way America wants it as well. Remember, as I shared with Jackie Junty tonight, this is the 50-yard line. And while you may have great seats, ladies and gentlemen, your team is losing. The United States of America is losing. They're too concerned about the popcorn and the beer and the greasy cheap dogs you get at the stadium. Turn on the tube. Go to the game. The new Arizona Cardinals stadium opened up several weeks ago. I have yet to set foot in it, and I have no desire to set foot in it. I'm in this game. I'm on the 50-yard line, and my intent is to win, but I can't do it without your help, without your assistance. It's America. It's time to stand up together, be counted, or lay down together and die. The evening's over. Thanks for joining me tonight, right here on the Flip Side. I'll see you again tomorrow night as Robbie takes off for a week of fun in the sun. On behalf of Robbie Noel, myself, and the Republic Broadcasting Network, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.